Good afternoon. Oh, just kidding. Good morning. It is 11:03. You're listening to Valleyfornia, where we discuss everything social happening in the San Fernando Valley. With me today is Tara Walker, author of Genres of Love and host of her own radio show, Tara's Plug Out of the Box. Welcome, Tara.
Thank you.
So what's your book about?
Well, it's Genres of Love and it's Expansion of the Heart. It's about love, and it's a different perspective on love. You know, everybody usually, when they think of love, oh, it's mushy. But this is kind of like a inner soul travel book on love, opening up spaces within yourself, things you've never seen before within yourself, coming out and being cleansed relationship wise, you know, just on self love. And, you know, it opens your eyes generally to just life itself and brings you some treasures.
Yeah, reading your book, I realized that a lot of people, well, I didn't really think about it until I read it, that people think of love as black and white.
Mm-hmm.
And in your book, you talk about how there's colors of love. So can you go a little into in depth about that?
Well, sure. You know, chapter 4, I do believe, it's called Colors of Love. Sorry, I need to be in the mic. And I go through, you know, different colors like green, blue, you know, all the different colors. So I can read something if you want me to.
Yeah, of course.
Go ahead. From that. So, you know, for all you guys out there, don't think this is mushy business, but this is real. Important for you to know that, you know, love is everything and love has different colors. You know, look at us as like a human race. You know, our skin colors are different. You know, we love the different colors of, you know, you have gray today. Somebody loves black, red. So, you know, this is the first time me reading this to anybody live. So let's just go with, I'm just going to look, you know, I was hoping that you would like do something, read it maybe, because I'm a little shy. No, just kidding. I'm not going to be shy. So we're going to go to brown. I said brown.
You're not shy. You have your own show.
Yeah, well, yeah, I do. But I'm still shy sometimes. I'm shy, guys, but I can really be flamboyant with my speech. So we're going to talk about brown. So it says brown is a substance of color, a color that is rich in life. As I sit out in the open, I realize that it gives life to everything with its decadent roots. It fills the earth with a remarkable wisdom. The love of man lies in its fervor as he was made from this nutrient clay. My love for you forever reigns. How can I not say to you how marvelous you are? I say now you are marvelous. You take me away from the insignificant and you take me to a place of silence, charm, and to the beginning of time where breath was first given to you in your virgin state. That's just part of what I think about brown, and it could go on. I don't know if you want me to go on.
You can
with
go
it.
On.
So I am so excited to be in your embrace, full of love for me, loving the sweetness of your taste. You are the ruler of the earth and the fire of my soul, lifting and sweeping across land and sea. You are worth more than gold or any precious gem. The resources of love arise from your loins and give us strength where we thought there was not any left. Love me always with your love of all time, for we owe you the recognition and love that will carry from time to time, endless and serene. You plant me firm and watch me grow. You give me roots that never end. Oh, my love, for you, brown has no bounds. Your bounds for me are limitless. Your branches continue to find rest for me wherever I am. Transforming from green to brown and carried away by the winds that charm you, and then finding yourself back from where you came and assuring us that again you will forever stay. Brown calls and says, just keep watching and just keep watching. I carry all life in my deepest depths, and I will day after day present my fragrance to you.
Wow. How do you categorize these colors with love?
Well, of course, you know, when I talked about brown, you know, you think of the
like earth.
Earth
tones, yeah.
You know, you think of soil. Mm-hmm. Soil is brown. And when you plant seeds in soil, you know, they grow. continuously. You got to water them and whatnot, and then the green comes, and you know, but the roots are in the soil. So that's what I equipped it with. And we are rooted in the soil. We go back to the soil, you know, when one passes away, you bury someone. And so, you know, brown is a very important color. You know, it's a very important part of our life, and we don't notice it. You know, trees and flowers and soil. I mean, like, our food grows in soil, you know. Mm-hmm. Without soil, you know, we wouldn't have the fruits and the vegetables. You know, the cows probably couldn't eat grass if you're a meat eater, you know. You know, we return to that. We're one with that. And a lot of times we forget that we're one with this planet. And definitely soil is where we're rooted. So that's where I got it from, you know, and yeah. I just kind of went into a whole like daydream of what it was and saw it and felt it and wrote it.
I don't think a lot of people think about love as colors. So I found that really interesting. What about red, the most cliche color of love? What's your definition of that?
Well, of course you have, everybody's gory maybe for some, but you have blood. You have bloodlines. You know, it is the source and food for our organs, you know. It's passionate. It's seductive. It's sensual, you know, and it's fiery. So red is just love in itself. And, of course, you're dealing with the heart. So, you know, we know the heart pumps blood. The heart's red. And it's, you know, it's the source of the body. You don't have the heart, you don't have life. You can have a brain and be brain dead and the heart be pumping and still be alive. But you take that heart out, that red heart, and you're no longer here. So, you know, red is power. Definitely power.
Yeah. Does it have to do more with inner love or love as in loving one another, like loving another person? Because brown is more loving the earth, right? And mm-hmm. loving, like appreciating the world.
True, true. I mean, red too can be the same because, I mean, you can't have life without the blood, you know? And it's not about, you know, this book is not about, oh my God, blood and red and all that good stuff. No. But
it just talks about things that like symbolize the colors and you want people to take it, like, be more appreciative, right?
Definitely be more appreciative of the heart, you mm-hmm. know, and listen to your heart more. Your heart will guide you to great things. A lot of people said, oh, you know, the heart will steer you wrong. The heart never steers you wrong. You know, it's like our minds that go and, you know, steer us and, you know, has all these whispers. Don't do it. Maybe we should do it. Oh, they're going to, you know, think I look crazy or, you know, oh my God, I'm not experienced enough to do this or that. But mm-hmm. when you consult your chest, which red has a lot to do with because it's the heart, mm-hmm. when you consult your chest, which is your heart, mm-hmm. you will get a different answer. Sometimes in your head, you can be stressed out and just confused and just, you know, you got that heaviness on your head. But when you take the time in that moment to shift your focus to your chest, you'll see that you're good. You'll get this calm sense of feeling in your whole being, and it'll change your whole day. It'll change your whole moment, you know. And a lot of times we don't consult our chest enough. We're too busy just thinking about what the outside is going to think. So, yes, more to do with inner love, more to do with your inner self and finding out who you are and being proud, you know, mm-hmm. with the color red, of course.
That reminds me of the chakras. Are you aware about any of that?
Yeah, yes. There's seven chakras. Mm-hmm. So you have the heart chakra, mm-hmm. right? Of course. And, you know, it's good to cleanse all of those things, you know, starting from the crown chakra to the base chakra. You know, the base chakra is very powerful and you can have this energy that, you know, goes with from the base to the crown, from the crown to the base, just like in a circular motion, and clean chakras. And, you know, if you can visualize yourself cleansing your chakras, you know, and just, you know, with the sound ah, you know, that is a very powerful sound that helps channel and cleansing your chakras and things of this nature. But yes, absolutely. This book has a lot to do with that kind of cleansing, that kind of opening, that kind of, you know, focus mm-hmm. in a different way. You know, it's, you look at love in a different way and look at yourself in a different way. when you read this book.
Okay. What point did you think, I'm going to write a book? I'm going to express all this with people because I need them to know.
Well, this all came out of me after my husband died. He died in 2008 in a car crash, and I was devastated. I didn't think I would be a young widow at all. You know, I thought we were going to grow old together, but we didn't. So I got on my computer one night, and I just started writing these chapters, and I started out with a title, and I just wrote. And when I got done or tired, I would stop, and then I would get up in the middle of the night again and write some more. So through this book, after my husband passed away, I was crying, laughing, got angry. I mean, all of these different things came out of me, and I didn't realize that they were there. And I, you know, his passing helped me do this. So I wrote this in 2008, because he died in November of 2008. So I started in around December and finished in about the end of January, beginning of February of 2009. Mm-hmm. So I've been sitting on this book for the last 6-7 years, about 7 years before I published it.
Wow.
But I wrote it after he passed away. And so it brought out so many things in me. And I said, you know what, if this does this to me, I want to share it with everybody else that I can. And it'll possibly help them and bring out things that they didn't see in them and change themselves for themselves.
How do you think it helped you evolve creatively?
You know, because, I mean, it helped me because I wrote it. You know, it's like I didn't know that this was in me.
Did you ever write journals before this?
I've written articles for magazines, and, you know, there's a, it's called EUR Web, and I've written articles for them for different movies and things of this nature, you know, gone on interviews and written articles about what I've been doing. And then I wrote an article about suddenly being single, which was in 2009 after my husband passed, you know. But that's the gist of my writing as far as just different articles and just those kind of things. But this is my first book. I always knew I wanted to write something. I just didn't know it was going to be this. Mm-hmm. But I'm a big lover. I love love. Love is just amazing. Too many people, like, pass it by. And I'm just talking about love self. There's so much sensuality and so much, you know, passion mm-hmm. in learning to love yourself. It's fun and exciting. You can't go wrong. And so if you, like, get into you and, you know, understand the depths of love that you have within you, it's not as corny as people think.
Mm-hmm. No, it's true, because I, through looking at relationships around me, I see that people are really dependent on love from another person mm-hmm. and not so much on themselves. So when their relationship falls apart, they wonder why. And I feel like it has to do with a lot of self-respect that they lack. So what do you think? Am I kind of like in the ballpark of that's how it is?
Yeah, no, you're right. Because we always look on the outside of us hoping that somebody will accept us, love us, appreciate us for the things that we do. Like, even just a simple thank you. I had did someone for something for someone the other day, really huge. And they didn't even say thank you. And I thought, God, they could have said thank you.
But then it's so simple.
It's very mm-hmm. simple. But then I thought to myself, okay, did I do it to get the thank you, or did I do it because it felt good? You know? And it's very important to do things because they feel good to you, and not expecting someone on the outside to appreciate what you did, but for you to appreciate what you did for yourself, for others. And it just changes your whole world, and you will get what you want to come to you. But you're right. A lot of times we do look on the outside and depend on other people to love us. And we're so busy looking for their approval of love for us that we forget how to look in the mirror and say, I'm pretty hot, or, you know, I'm pretty okay. You know, I'm smart. You know, you have to look in the mirror and say to yourself, I'm smart. I'm beautiful.
You're
I'm kind.
It. Yeah.
You really do. You know, not in an arrogant, conceited way, but really understand how much you're worth. Because once you know your worth, it wouldn't matter who on the outside says, ah, yuck, or thank you, Tara. Thank you, Blanca, for being my world. You know, like, it's, you know, you know you're the world. Mm-hmm. In a humble, loving, fun, and want to explore more kind of way.
So what experience have you gone through to realize this? Because I know you have to go through some really bad experiences or to grow from, to tell yourself, wow, I can't believe I went through this. I can't believe I let this person tell me I wasn't good enough. Mm. So when was that point for you that you realized that you had to love yourself?
You know, I've always been on a quest for truth since 13 years old, I can remember. And my mother always instilled in me, you know, people are going to talk, Tara. They're always going to talk. But it's not about what they say about you. It's how you feel about you. So she's been telling me this since I've been 8, 9 years old. And it always stuck with me. I've had experiences, yes, that weren't as exciting as the next one. But those experiences helped me, you know, understand myself and the limits or the limitlessness that's within me to tolerate, to forgive, to, you know, overstand, you know, other people may be in a different place. And sometimes things don't even have anything to do with you when people are coming at you crazy. It has nothing to do with you because you didn't do anything to them. So I can't say that you know, somebody said, oh, you're not worth it. And then I just opened my eyes and said, oh, my God, I am worth it. Mm-hmm. You know, but I do think that not having a father in my life growing up, that is, as far as love, you know, as far as relationship wise, I had to learn that on my own. And I know that there are many people out there, women out there who didn't have fathers growing up. And I know that there's many men out there that didn't have, you know, mothers growing up as well. And mm-hmm. sometimes not even fathers. So even learning how to be a man without a father in your life, you know, you have to go by trial and error because your mother can't teach you how to be a complete man. Your father can't teach you how to be a complete woman. So those things right there, I think that that's the main core for me, is not having a father growing up. That, you know, kind of had me searching and looking and wondering, you know, why wasn't he here? Not that I wasn't good enough, but like, why weren't you here for me? Yeah. And then trying to show in relationships, I'm worth you staying, you know, trying to prove to them. So I think that once I realized that right there, that why am I'm trying to prove to my father, in a sense, through a relationship, that I'm worth you staying. Look at all what I'm worth. Look at what I can do. Look what we can do together. You don't have to go anywhere, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's the only thing that, you know, kind of rocked me a little bit. But it was a good rocking because I got to know me. I got to know many things about you men out there. Uh-huh. Definitely. I can tell you ladies a few things. But that's another show.
We're going to have you come back on.
Yeah, because I love talking about relationships. They're pretty fun.
I can tell.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I had to sneak in on your head.
You know, I do. That's my thing. But, yeah.
For those who don't know, you're listening to Valifornia on KBCRadio.com. And this is Mario Lawson, the program director. And the host of Valifornia is Blanca Renavado.
She's
here with guest Tara Walker, who just wrote your book. What's your book's name again?
Genres of Love, Expansion of the Heart.
Ouch. You hear it. You've heard it first. So yes. Since I was breaking in, I had to introduce myself so people know what's up. So
everybody knows who you are.
Yeah.
You know, thank you guys. Thank you for coming in, Tara.
I'm
just glad to see you on the air again. And thank you for hosting the show with her. I really think, you know, she's got something to share, and it's Valley, so that's where we all met her. So.
Yeah, right here in the parking lot of this coffee shop.
Ooh. I remember meeting you in the parking lot. Was it Radio Shack or Winnetka?
Yeah, it was. I was coming from the Powerhouse Internet Cafe. They have great brand muffins there. And Ahmed, if you're listening, you know you better like give me free muffins now after this. But yeah, that's where we were at. And then you were coming out of Radio Shack?
Yeah, I was coming out of Radio Shack, getting some equipment for the radio.
Right, and my partner was like, hey, you know what? We need to talk to him. She like felt a vibe from you for some reason. So we rolled up, and then like we started talking, and next you know, bada bing, bada bang, we were in here.
She was on the air.
Well, I was in here.
Yeah.
She was, I don't know.
I don't know. She showed up afterwards.
She sure did, outside.
Yeah.
The show was over.
We won't dog her out no more, but, yeah. You know, I'm glad to hear. I'm going to have to read your book, you know.
Yes. Read it.
Yes.
It's good.
Where Absolutely. You can get it. Do you guys have time to tell people where to get it?
You can tell it. You still got time. Yeah.
Do you have a website?
You got 5 minutes left. Speak of that.
Well, yeah, you can go to Amazon.com and actually type in Genres of Love, Expansion of the Heart. Type the whole thing in. Or you can go to KnowledgePowerBooks.com.
Okay.
Absolutely.
What can we see from you in the future?
I'm still working on the show called, well, it was called something, but it's about, you know, being unmarried with children and basically single mothers just maxed out. So we're doing a sizzler right now and getting it ready to give to some people who want it. And from that point on, you'll see us on TV.
Wow.
Yeah. It's going to be pretty exposed, so...
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Is this going to be like some crazy reality show like Real Housewives?
Well, no. It's just about pretty much, you know, people who are single. You know, women who are single with children and how we live, really. Really how we live. And no holding back anything, you know. Nothing at all as far as finding love, as far as how we deal with our children, work, our careers, our ambitions, you know, that, you know, there are a lot of people out there who single mothers right now and single fathers that are coming here to Pierce College right now and, you know, going to school, getting their degrees, working towards something. And a lot of that goes untold. So we're going to tell it and hopefully be able to be that voice for others that, you know, it's not so bad as they think. You don't have to pity us because we're pretty powerful and strong.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Is it Valley based?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And I have a woman from Texas, Beyonce's father's baby's mom. Her name is Tequoia. And she had a baby by Mr. Knowles. And she is definitely going to be part of this show. Just living her life as well and what she's going through. So it's a lot to come. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited.
That is exciting. Yeah. When can we, when do you think this might be out?
Well, you know, we're doing the sizzler now. So we're just getting a lot of footage as you saw me filming here. So just kind of get the footage just for the sizzler. So that's going to take about maybe a couple months to put the sizzler together, maybe less. And then just shop it to the people that want it and then shop it to other people or networks that don't know about it just yet, but you will see us. So give it about give or take maybe about 6 or 7 months. It all depends.
We'll bring you back on the show and you can tell us all about it.
Yes, I will, and you'll be able to see it too and be like, dang, that's what they do.
I saw you recording. Am I gonna be on there?
Yeah, you just, yeah, oh, hey. I recorded over there like this, like, wee.
Hey,
that's
Mom.
Who's interviewing me. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it's going to be nice. You'll be on the sizzler if you don't mind. Do I have your permission to put you on the sizzler? You too, Doc.
Please.
Yes, yes. Say yes. You, say yes.
Oh, yeah.
Woo,
yeah, of
got
course.
On air.
Yeah.
Got
I want to be
permission.
On TV.
Permission. Okay, cool.
I'm on that.
Yeah.
And then just a little fun fact. I want to sidetrack a little bit. You went to school with Leonardo DiCaprio.
I did.
How
was
that?
I went to Marshall High School. He was in class of 92. I was class of 91. And he used to be this little guy that had a little shirt tied around his waist, little blonde hair to the side, and just walking through the school looking at people and stuff. So, yes, I went to school with Charlie Tuna from Jurassic 5. Ozo Motley, he's a good friend of mine. He went to Marshall, used to walk me home all the time and always would tell me about music, and how he was going to be big, and he did that. Heidi Fleiss went to my school, but I didn't graduate with her, didn't go with her. I mean, I wasn't in her class. She's way older than me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah, he was just a little frail little kid walking around the school with a skateboard. So yeah.
That's awesome. Did you say hi to him or you were too cool?
No, I wasn't too cool. I was a ball player. It was just like him. We just kind of looked at each other and just gave the nods up and whatnot. So, but he was in my sister's class. So yeah, but yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio.
That's awesome.
He's so cute too now. He was
then
too.
You're like, I wish I would have talked to him back then.
Well, no, I was just like him, a shy, you know, just like trying to find my way too. Yeah. We had that same kind of vibe, you know, so he found his way. I know that all the women who probably dogged him out in the past was probably like, God, I should have talked to Leo. Mm-hmm. I was never like, oh, I should have talked to Leo. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's all the time we have today. Thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome.
And I'm Blanca Renovato, signing off for KPCRadio.com.